Welcome to the Thinklings Podcast, a conversation where good thoughts help renew the mind with the Word of God. I'm Charlie Carter, and I'm here with Tim Little and Andy Stearns. Let's jump into the conversation.
Welcome to the Thinklings Podcast, Summer Edition. Gentlemen, I want to know, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Shalom.
You stole Tim's word.
Stop it.
Gentlemen, listeners, we have been recording the last three podcasts in one fell swoop today for you, so you'll hear this after the fact. But guys, it's been really good to see you after not seeing you for like 3 weeks, basically during the wedding and the honeymoon. It's just really good to see your faces.
Yeah, it was neat to connect again, all three of us. It's been a little while.
It has been. Listener, I'm just going to say it. Get yourself a group of Thinklings. Listener, like read books together, do life together, be there for each other. You won't regret it. Go through hard things, tell each other what they don't want to hear, love each other unconditionally. Like, do that. It has been one of the best things that I think the three of us have ever done. And it branches from us out. So welcome to this week's episode. And we just want to start off by saying, hey, we are still trying to get to 200 five-star reviews by our 200th episode, which I think we've all understood, like, that was a good goal. We may not quite hit it, but we're still moving quite along. And so, listeners, we appreciate that. Now, if you've already left a five-star review and we haven't done this in a while, you need to think creatively about how to leave a second one. And so before, we've talked about stealing your friend's phone, stealing your grandparent's phone who doesn't know how to use a phone. I would just say there's no shame in stealing any random phone. What do you got?
There's no shame in stealing someone's identity.
It's so horrendous.
Oh, I had not even thought about identity theft.
Oh, no, that's not a joke.
That's not a joke. Yeah, we shouldn't joke about that.
Sorry, Tim.
So, listener, if you have not left a five-star review with a statement of it, then please do that, because we would love to put you into our drawing when we do get to 200. We've got some really great prizes and some good stuff to give away. We want to give do you want to say something? You look like you're going to jump in.
So Tim and I have talked about this off air, but something that we would maybe do for that giveaway is you could select a book and we might annotate it.
Oh, that's good.
So like, you're like, you know, I'd really like to give this gift of a book to so-and-so for Booksing Day. And you could purchase that book and we would write weird things in it for you.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Anyway.
Tim's not so sure about this.
He's not. He wasn't before, but I thought I would just say it anyway.
Sure. Whatever.
I still enjoyed that one time we gave away at, like, the Chronicles of Narnia, but I annotated it with the correct reading order. We should do a couple of those.
Yeah, you know, a couple fun little ditties. Anyway.
So we want to do a shout out to our normal sponsors, Brickhouse Coffee Co., the best coffee company to have cater your wedding reception. Let me just tell you by experience, you should do that. Number two, Porchlight Coffee House, which I think they are Charlie's second home, basically.
Yeah.
I think basically they're his second home. Would you agree or no?
Yeah, it's
you agree. Accurate. Yep, it's right. Isn't it?
So once this airs, I will have moved to Grimes. And so I did the other day go to another coffee shop.
Where are you going?
In Grimes.
Which one?
I'm not ready to share that.
Oh, you're
yet.
Waiting. Okay, gotcha.
You know.
Sure. But
the nice thing is that I do work like three blocks. Mm. It's more than three blocks, but
it's close.
2 minutes from Porchlight. So most of the time I'm gonna pop in there anyway.
Sounds like the beginning of a deconversion story.
No. May it never be.
May it never
Joel,
be, Tim.
Wow. Do not believe him. Joel's the owner of Porchlight.
Porchlight.
And then last of all, Blue Cow, the friendliest herd around. We just want to say a shout out to them. Charlie, we're thankful that you work there and you give us all good moving deals.
Yes.
None of us have moved, though, but we know that that would happen. And we appreciate that.
Amen.
Books and business.
Let's talk about some books.
All right. So I'm going to go first today.
I think Tim did that as a segue to get us moving on. I, as the host, was not quite ready to move on, but that's fine.
All right. So a couple of weeks ago, I read a poem that was written for Andy's wedding.
Such a
the
good poem.
Wedding wisdom poem. And so now I'm going to come back to it. So Books and Business, the origin story of Books and Business is hey, what are you reading? But it's also like, hey, have you been writing anything? Mm. And going back before we recorded this, we would have little things that we would write. We'd share them with each other and we'd talk about them. So it's in, That's a valid entry for Books and Business. Is what have you written? Let's talk about it.
Sure.
And so I want to talk a little bit more about the poem. And so you don't really have to know anything about poetry at all to try and do it. So that being said, what I did here was I decided, just arbitrarily so, that I was going to do a stanza of 5 lines. And then I was going to have a syllable pattern of 9 syllables, 8 syllables, 9 syllables, 8 syllables, 8 syllables. So if you counted up each line, it's 9, 8, 9, 8, 8. And then I also decided that the rhyming scheme was going to be A, B, B. So you can hear it. So come behold, hear this wedding wisdom. On this day of life most winsome, for which friend and family do come. So each of the end of those 3 lines match. They rhyme at the end. And then you switch to see the groom and bride unite, a day of joy and fullness bright. So it's 3 and 2 with the rhyming, and then it's 9, 8, 9, 8, 8 with the syllables. Does that resemble anything? Absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah. So if you haven't already, you could go to YouTube and there's a guy called Malcolm Guite. And once a week, he shares these little videos of him in his office where he's reading books and talking about poetry. And he's just a wonderful gentleman. He is a modern day Gandalf. That is how I view him. And, revision. He is a modern Tom Bombadil. That's who he is.
Yeah, that was really good. That was a great change. Bombadil fits in perfectly.
Yeah. He's a very merry, musical, whimsical fellow. He's awesome. He knows a lot about Lewis and all that stuff. So he had shared a while back about a poem he wrote dozens of years ago where he took in Narnia, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's a snippet of a poem that the beavers share with the Pevensies about the coming of Aslan. And it's alluding to this fact, the idea that in Narnia, these poems have been written as prophecy, like years and years and years and years ago, about the 4 thrones of Caer Paravel. And so he picked the rhyming scheme from Narnia. He borrowed that and he wrote a whole big thing. Like, so he expanded upon the poem and the rhyming scheme and all that. And I was watching that and I was like, oh, so he just picked a rhyming scheme and went with it. And he just wrote stuff. Yep, that's what he did. And so that's what I did. And
well done, poet.
Yeah, thank you.
Didn't even know it.
Yes.
Horrendous.
So I'm going to highlight just a couple other... Poets. Yeah.
No, I'm not. You're just rhyming off of me. You're the poet.
All right. So calm yourselves. So I'm going to highlight a couple of the themes. So what a good poem does, and this, if you want to read something about poems and drama and writing, language, all this, Aristotle wrote a work, you know, thousands of years ago called Poetics. And he talks about how good poetry is a blend of commonplace words. So things that everybody talks about all the time, but also words that have some strangeness to them. So like a word you'd borrow from another language or something you would spell differently. And the point is that if you just talked commonly, everyone would disregard what you've just written. So you have to write poetry in a way that there's something signaling to the reader that there's something different here for them to focus on. And Aristotle calls that, you know, everyday or commonplace words blended with strangeness. And he says that, you know, if you wrote everything in strangeness, it would just be, you'd be a barbarian. Nobody would understand what you're doing. It'd be a foreign language. So you have to blend the mysterious things, the strange things, with the everyday things. And that's what poetry tries to do, is they blend those things together to get you to think about something meaningful. And so this poem is a blend of something that everybody somewhat knows about. So we're talking about a wedding and talking about brides and grooms. And then there's also things in here that we talk about winter and spring, summer, commonplace things. We talk about cold and dark, and then we talk about bright and sunny. So it's things that everybody would have a reference to. but then tried to arrange it in a way that gets you to think about something. So I'll pitch it to my cohorts. What is the thing that through the rhyming, the meter, the commonplace language of this poem, what's the thing I was trying to get people to think about meaningfully? See if you can...
The contrast between good days and bad days.
Okay, yes.
Are you, can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the specific stanza you just read or the full poem?
Full poem, yep.
I think you're trying to get people to think about life transition and how horribly hard things God can actually use for good.
Yeah, so, and then I think this is another aspect of poetry is to have a play on words or a pun, mm-hmm. or you recraft a meaning. So there's some phrases that were very intentionally crafted. And so, for example, in the second stanza, the second line, death's dirge from wedding song so stark. So there we've got two different types of songs. Mm-hmm. A dirge is a very somber song. A wedding song would be something that's really bright and fun. And so then later in the poem, the word wedding gets used again, but it's a wedding of something that's not normal. So like when we think of wedding, we think of people, bride, groom, but then you get into, it's the fifth stanza, the wedding of trouble and pleasure. So there's something that's really good, Tim, the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. You know, here's something that's really good, and then there's something that's really bad, and they're being wed together. And you're meant to think about that wedding as a reader and go, well, why? Why are they put together like that? And then as the poem progresses, the meaningful idea is that who actually puts those things together?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Lord. And that's, again, in the very next stanza, so stanza 6. But with darkness, God wed his light. So here's three different use of the same word, trying to get the reader to focus on something that's kind of normal, but then something that's kind of strange to think about something meaningful. That's poetry. And then, so that's kind of what's going on in the poem. And then I do just want to share my favorite line of the poem. So, and my favorite line is in the second to last stanza, again, highlighting this theme where good and bad come together. Behold this, God marries death and life. Gloomy death seeks and finds his wife. And so just, there's just good pictures there. Anyway, Holy Trinity restores the strife. So we're going to switch rhyming patterns to the second. Heaven's cradle robbed, son dies for thief, full flavor found in hope's belief. I just loved that line, heaven's cradle. So God is born as a child. And it's robbed. So the cradle, something is taken from the cradle, presumably the child. But then the second part of that strophe, the son, the baby born in the cradle, he dies for the thief. And it's a just perfect summary of the gospel. And so God, in his plan to send his son, knew he was wedding dark with light to save us. And so that's a very meaningful part of the poem, that you start with Andy's getting married. Mm-hmm. And then there are some other things in there that for Andy's experience, there were some very dark things that led prior to his wedding. And then, but you follow that tunnel to the meaning of, you know, why does God put good things with bad things? And that's the point of the poem, is to think about that meaning of why good and bad can be put together. And so, yeah, told you a few weeks ago we'd talk a little bit more about the poem. So there we talked a little bit more about the poem.
I liked your seasonal part of it too. The seasons of winter and then spring and the transition. Because spring's like a good time and winter's kind of a dark time. I thought that transition was good.
Yeah.
I especially like the way you picked a spring bird to represent the coming of spring.
Mm-hmm.
But why did you pick that specific spring bird?
Yeah, so I just...
Or maybe you didn't want to say this.
Well, so... The picture is of a robin,
mm-hmm.
which is Andy's former wife. You know, I don't know the time sensitivity to the verbs is that, you know, but there's actually a couple of, I tried to think of how I could like get the word, yeah. try to get the word Rob or Robin in there. Mm-hmm. And that's actually why I really like that other line we shared, the robber. I was thinking of how could I get a slight homage to Robin, Rob, mm-hmm. the robber, you know? But anyway, yeah. So there's at the beginning of the story, there's this orange breasted bird who's singing the coming of spring. And, that was there for a reason too.
I thought that was a cool, it was very personal. So I like that because the poem works on a bigger level to contrast the ideas, but then you wrote it personally for person and there was very personal details. So I just thought it was really good. I liked it. So thank you.
All righty.
So my mini book is The Phoenix in the Carpet by E. Nesbitt. So E. Nesbitt is an author from about a century ago. Canon Press is reprinting some of the books. This is one of them. I went through the first chapter. I really enjoyed it. I read it to my kids and they did not. I think they didn't enjoy it because they wanted to go play.
That's the worst, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Split affections.
But the first chapter, the chapters are kind of long because the book was written like back in 1901 or something. And so now it's been reprinted. But J.K. Rowling has written about this. I identify with E. Nesbitt more than any other writer. And C.S. Lewis has also written about E. Nesbitt, appreciatively liking the books. So this is a new series that I'm looking forward to getting into with my children. It's in the Canon Classics series through Canon Press. You can find them at the Faith Bookstore. The Story of the Amulet is another one. The Book of Dragons is a third. And I would recommend checking them out. I think it's going to be really good. And I'm going to try to read it to my kids again.
All right. I've got C.S. Lewis quotes for us in a mini book. So I have started reading The Trinity and Introduction by Scott Swain. This is out of the series Short Studies in Systematic Theology. This is going to be, so I'm trying to dabble in Trinitarianism. There's been a big hubbub in the last 10 years over classical Trinitarianism versus EFS, Eternal Functional Subordination, or ESS, the Eternal Subordination of the Son. And it's made like huge waves in the theological world. And every time I read either side, it feels like they're saying the same thing. So I just need to sharpen up on it. So this book is supposed to be the introduction that you want to read. So I'm reading it and, you know, it's going great. And then sure enough, it gets to where I'm like, wait a second, that's the same thing. So anyways, I gotta do some, no, I mean, it's like, sometimes I think if you could write on this subject and make it clear, but I've heard of professors who hear this and they're like, that's the same thing. And I have a friend who wrote his entire dissertation on this. So, and it may just be philosophical.
Does he say it's the same thing?
No. His argument is that it's different and it's bad and it's actually really, really bad. And so that sounds great. And Myron taught classical Trinitarianism. And I read I was literally in chapter two and I'm like, wait, that's classical? I thought that was the other side. So like, I don't know. I'm just doing it to personally educate myself. But with our theme this summer, here's some C.S. Lewis quotes for you. So the theme this time is kinds of books. Okay. So I was skimming through some C.S. Lewis quotes, and in Letters to Malcolm, he says this about books that are up to date. This is good. The more up to date the book is, the sooner it will be dated. The more up to date a book is, the sooner it will be dated. I thought that was just quippy. And it is interesting. Sometimes you write on the cutting edge and it addresses that momentary moment thing. And then after a while, it's just totally passe. All right. Second quote. This is from God in the Dock, Christian Apologetics. This one, he talks about Christian books, and it was really interesting. I'm not sure what, I think this is a good thought. He says, we must attack the enemy's line of communication. What we want is not more little books about Christianity, but more little books by Christians on other subjects with their Christianity latent. I'm gonna read that one more time. What we want is not more little books about Christianity, but more little books by Christians on other subjects with their Christianity latent. So I imagine that in his time, there's people like, here's a little book introducing you to Christianity. Here's a little book introducing you to Christianity. Here's a little book about Christianity. And he's saying, why don't we write books on all these other subjects from the Christian worldview. Interesting, very interesting thought. So I don't know that, I don't know, that's a strong critique. I think little books about Christianity are valuable, but it's not bad. Interesting thought. Like, we should be writing on other topics from our Christian truth worldview.
Amen.
That's it. That's all I got.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Thinklings Podcast. We would love to hear from you. If you have any feedback, suggestions, or potential topics that you'd like us to discuss, you can contact us through our email, thinklingspodcast@gmail.com. Remember, don't let this conversation end with this podcast. Read good books, talk about them with your friends, and always continue to cultivate your mind. See you next time on the Thinklings Podcast.